Let's go to God's Word together. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. There you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Father in heaven, will you cause us to hear? I pray it often. I try to find different ways to pray the same prayer. But if you can help us to hear this morning, we will understand you better. Help us to push aside presuppositions and prejudices and even what we think we know. May we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us things and take us places we've never been before or never known before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just start by asking, what are you troubled about? What kind of agitation did you wake up with today, and what did you bring to church hoping that music and preaching would cause it to subside? Who has you troubled? Are you listening to me? Are you fidgeting until the sermon gets good? What has you troubled? Who has upset you? And how long has this been going on? And how much joy has it sapped? And how long will you let it continue? When will you deal with it? Or when will you give it to Jesus? And are you agitated because you keep taking it back from Jesus? Because he's slow. And you need an answer now. You can't just take a verse, John 14, 1, and start as though that was a segment. You've got to go back to the previous verses and the ones after, because there were no chapters in the original scriptures. So what I wanted to know was, why was Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled? Because in the previous verses, he was telling the disciples he had to go, and they got all upset wanting to know where. Where are you going? Peter said, Lord, where are you going? I want to go with you because I'll die with you if I have to. Jesus said, die with me, while you'll deny me before the rooster crows. And that's when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be upset about what's going to happen next. Don't try to figure it out. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. Let me take care of it. Trust me with it. Put it in my hand. Do you trust me with it? Have you put it in his hand? Have you removed it from his hand? Don't let your heart be troubled. Now, we could go around the room today and in the other buildings, go all through the gym at Lake Park and Weatherby Hall and Discipleship Center, and we could have a testimony meeting, and we could say, stand and tell us what has you troubled. And everybody would have something or somebody. But I thought I'd tell you what's got me troubled this morning. And it's not as a man or a husband. My troubled soul is because I'm over the flock. And I see things happening. See, usually there's turbulence when we take our eyes off Jesus. When you put your eyes on a man and hope a man can fix it, or think that there's another place where it might get fixed, usually the disturbance in your soul is magnified. There is no man, see, and there is no place you can go. All of our strength, hope, answers, and peace are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I feel the troublesome atmosphere as a pastor. And let me be honest with you. I sense and I agonize over the scriptures that say, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Don't you think that weighs on me all the time when I look out across this vast congregation and the others that are to come and recognize that the scriptures are addressed to people like us? When Paul writes and says, in the latter times, and we are in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, what could possibly make someone go after something so alluring and deceptive that they actually move away from Jesus? What could it be? I tell you, over the years that I've been the pastor of this church, Sandra and I have watched people come and go. I have with my own eyes watched people, sincere people, who I thought were grounded and settled in the faith, come to a situation and become so desperate that they, in their desire and semi-hysteria to get an answer from God, will go here and there, hoping that they will finally find someone to confirm what they want. I've seen families destroyed. Am I telling the truth, Sandra? I've seen whole families under my ministry destroyed because they wanted something more. More than what? More than the Word? More than the worship of Jesus? What more could a person want? I've seen people who were filled with the Spirit, working hard for God, encounter situations in life that so unraveled them, they became so desperate to have it fixed or to get an answer from God now. Did you hear me? To get an answer from God now, that they would do unlikely things to have someone say a word over them or give them a promise or a hope or a prophecy. I'm preaching to you as a pastor. My heart is astir this morning. You see, you can become, I'm going to use the word again, so desperate to hear from God that you will begin to fling common sense and spirituality out the window. And you'll think that you can run to a place where the Spirit is of God is moving. Or you can run to a person or some people to get a word from the Lord. I hear this all the time. Oh, Pastor, God is really moving over there. Have you heard about the revival? The Spirit of God is really moving over there. I wish we could get into that. I'm going to go visit there. Pastor, you ought to go visit there. Jesus had an encounter with a woman one time. And he addressed this very thing. She said, "You Jews say that in Jerusalem is where you worship. Our father said that it's up there on that mountain." See, people have this wild idea that God's in a place. He's just sitting in a place hoping somebody will come by and visit or ask for something. God is not in a place. He is not in Jerusalem, even now. God is wherever two or three get together in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? You say, but things are happening over there. People are shouting and speaking in tongues and they're falling out in trances and they're having prophecies and they're getting words. God's moving over there. No. No. Jesus said in the last days, the power of deception would be so strong that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And he said, if someone says, hey, he's over there, don't go. Hey, Christ, that means anointed. Didn't mean Jesus, but the anointing is over there. Don't go. In fact, he said, don't believe it. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? Oh, you must not be happy I'm back yet, because some of you are still staring at me. Well, here goes. Let's wind it up and get with it. Jesus said, if somebody comes to you and says, my, there's a revival that's broken out over there. Let's get up a group and go. God's moving over there. He said, don't you believe that. Don't you dare believe it. Don't run around trying to find a place. The Spirit of God is within you. The Spirit of God is among you. And what you have to understand, brothers and sisters, you cannot confuse human activity or excitement with the Spirit of God. We've called that revival over the years. Oh, revival's broken out over there. People are running the aisles. My God, I see people who never move raise their hands and all of that. That's human activity. It is somewhat of a response to something they feel spiritually, but it's not necessarily God. If you get filled with the Spirit, you won't necessarily do all those things. Now, you can get happy and you can feel good, and sometimes I do when the choir is singing, and I almost did a while ago, but that doesn't mean God is moving necessarily. It means that I'm finally responding to the Spirit of God that is already present. God won't pick you up and shake you around. God will make you walk right and talk right and live right and treat your neighbor right. God will make you live in the book. God will put you on your knees. I hear it all the time. I've heard it all my ministry. All my ministry I've had people come. My revival is broken out over there. Are you going, Pastor? Pastor, we think we'll go 3 or 4 nights. Pastor, we're just looking for more. Oh, we just wish you'd let Central loose. And let us really have revival. And I say, go ahead and have it. Get in the book. Get on your knees. Get in your closet. Seek God. Walk in holiness. Repent of your sins. Reconcile yourself to someone at whom you are have odds. Oh no, the Spirit of God won't make you jump up and down and scream on top of your sins. It'll get down in your soul and make you repent and cleanse you so that when you get up off your knees, you walk in the truth and you walk in righteousness. That's revival. I said, that's revival. The anointing is over there. Jesus said, don't believe it. The Spirit is moving over there. Jesus said, don't you go there. We still somehow erroneously desire such a feeling in our bodies and then equate that with the move of God that we forget that this brings revival. Not a loud preacher, not a lot of music. That can bring excitement. That can bring emotion. But only this can bring change into your life. And when you move away from this, your heart becomes troubled. And you try to pacify it and kind of slick over it and go somewhere and feel better and have someone lay a hand on you and speak a word to you. 9 times out of 10, it's not real. And 10 times out of 9, it'll mess you up. See, when will we ever get to the place that all we want is Jesus? Jesus. Pastor, I just want the Spirit to move. He's moving. The Spirit is never not moving. I sat in a funeral the other day. Pastor Baker was doing the funeral. It was so quiet, you could hear people breathing. There were sinners there. Of course, there's death in the room. Pastor Baker stood up in his inimitable way, and he talked about the love of God, the forgiveness of Jesus. And I want you to know something. God was moving in that place. Nobody said a word. Nobody moved. There was no hallelujah, amen, no shouting, no running the aisles, no speaking in tongues. But God was moving in that place. God was moving because His Word was being preached. God was moving because lost people were hearing the truth. God was moving because they heard that that casket is not the final word in somebody's life. There is a resurrection for those who believe on the name of Jesus. God was moving. I know some of you don't agree with me because you really do want me to let you loose. And do what? Let me get in parenthesis here. And do what? What do you want to do? Well, Pastor, we want to give out... Let me get in parenthesis here. We want confirmation. I got one in my hand. Well, we want to just be able to dance and run. Go outside. Really, there's more room in the parking lot. Run in between the cars. Run up and down the street. Just make a fool of yourself, for Christ's sake, out there. Go out to the courtyard behind the building. Just run in circles. Like a dog chasing his tail. Just run in circles. Get it out of your system. Because that does not mean that God is moving. Brother, listen to this preacher today. I went to prison with Larry Green and Mike Kennedy and David Niemeyer. I was in with about 120 young boys or men. They didn't want to be there. They were mad about being there. I listened to Larry sing, and these boys had their faces down, their heads down. They were sitting on the floor looking at each other, talking. I heard Mike preach. I heard David preach. And I said, my God, you're moving in this place. They're fighting it. They're resisting it. Nobody jumping up and down. There's not a hallelujah chorus going on. There's no choir. There's nothing. But my God, you're moving in this place. Because darkness is being dispelled and the truth is boring in and the light is shining where it's never shone before. Listen to your preacher this morning. When God's word is preached and when God's people worship Him in spirit and in truth, God is moving. People may not be all that excited, but God is moving. If Jesus is lifted up, God is doing the lifting up and He's being exalted. Help me praise Him right now. When someone comes to me or sends word to me that they're just needing a little more, you know what I believe? I believe it has then become an issue about me. Not me, the pastor, about you. I want more. I need more. It's not about Jesus anymore. It's about what I can feel. You better pray about that. I don't know many revivals in the last 31 years that have broken out around this area of the country that have produced any great results. I know for 2 or 3 weeks it produces excitement. Can't wait to get to church. But I don't know any long-lasting results. I haven't seen any churches explode in growth. I haven't seen any great preachers produced. We better rethink this thing and realize that when you live on the margin and you just want, you can't put your finger on it, but you just want more, you could be
Making yourself vulnerable to deception. You know, there's a lot of impartation ministries now. This man has an impartation ministry. First time I heard it, I didn't know what it was. I thought, impartation. And what does that mean? Then I came to find out that these men want you to come, and women want you to come so they can lay their hands on you and impart some gift or the spirit that they have. And this thing is growing wildly across the country. And so people are now going to foreign places and faraway places, traveling here and there like a bunch of bees, looking for a fresh flower, to have someone impart. Well, this will go on the internet, but I'm going to tell you right now, as I look dead in your eyes, I don't believe in impartation ministries. I don't want your gift, sir. I don't want your spirit, lady. The only spirit I want is the one that Jesus said He would go back and send to us, that would abide with me forever. And it won't make me act like you. It'll make me act like Him who sent it to me. Pastor, if I can just go get a word. What has happened to us? What has happened to us? I've got to go there and get a word from somebody. And have you noticed that the word is always a good one? Because you wouldn't dare go after somebody to give you a word if they said, yay. In 6 weeks thou wilt contract arthritis and lose your job, but God's going to be faithful to you and pull you through it. You'll say, nah, I don't want that prophecy. I'll go find me another one that says, yea, my daughter, God has seen your tears and the financial seeds you have planted, and you're about to move into your greatest harvest. And you will have blessings beyond your wildest dreams. And you say, now that is God. Now that, oh, I got to go get my friends and come back so they'll have a word. What's happened to us? What in God's name has happened to you? I need a word, Pastor. I think about it day and night. I'm absolutely desperate. And you better be careful that your desperation doesn't send you to somebody who's going to destroy your soul and deceive your spirit. Anybody listening to me this morning? Hey, why don't you go ahead and let me give you a word right now? I got a word for you. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. When everything else is burned up, the word of the Lord will be here. There's a word for you. There's a word for you. I got it. There's no word floating around out there. This is the only word of God. There are no special people walking around out there with revelation knowledge just for your life. If it contradicts this book, they constitute a false prophet, don't you see? Oh, you wanted me to come in here and set you on fire this morning, didn't you? But here's the job of a pastor. And this is why we carry the burden. And this is what makes us weird and abnormal. The burden of the word of the Lord rests upon us. And the Bible said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof,
for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly furnished, thoroughly fixed for good works. So part of my job, because I love you, I don't want your money. I don't want anything you've got. I just want to see you grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. My job is to get in among the sheep and say, you better watch out. There's some false prophets. They look better than I do, sound better than I do. They got a better word than I got. They can tell you some things that will make you happy. But I'm going to tell you in your midst, Jesus is coming back. And deception is everywhere. And false Christs are presenting themselves. You better stick in this book. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Right here. But Pastor, I need a confirmation. I got one for you. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Everything in this book is just right. Here's your confirmation. God cannot lie. God said, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a confirmation. Now, he may not do it right now, and that's where your desperation comes in. I got to have it now. I got to have it now. I make a fool of myself trying to make a point with you people. I got to have it now. That means you have not given it to Jesus. That means you don't trust that God will do the right thing. That means you don't think God has heard and answered your prayer. That's why Jesus said, if you'll give it to me, trust in me, believe in God, don't let your heart be troubled, everything's going to work out all right. Give it to me. Throw back your heads and worship the Lord. Let God take care of it. That's why you don't see me running around from here to there trying to get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So-called prophets these days say, come get yours. Get a piece of this. It's vulgar. It's obnoxious. People told me to go online and see this new prophet and this new thing that's happening somewhere. I won't say it because I don't want you to log on to it. And my wife and I sat and watched it for an hour and a half. I was so sick, I almost threw up. He never mentioned Jesus once. It was always the anointing, the impartation, and for 40 days or more now, thousands of people who've seen it on the internet fly in from Scotland, Germany, Australia, Concord. And I heard him say to these people on the stage, what did you come here for? I want some of this. Oh, you want some of this? You mean you want some of this? Bam! And they fall out in the spirit, so to speak. I don't believe it. Are you looking me in my eyeballs? I don't believe it. I don't believe that the thing you ought to be after is anointing. I don't believe a true man of God is going to play with your emotions and make a show out of what Jesus did on the cross. I don't believe there is a place. I don't believe there's a person. I believe there's a Savior.
Yes, amen.
And that's why Jesus said, you don't have to be troubled. See, I stay troubled a lot, I stay troubled a lot. Because I'm thinking, is something wrong with me, God? Because I don't get into all that. I receive this and I rebuke that and I don't want this. And Jesus, you've got to do this. And
I'm walking in the anointing. And I'm walking in the truth. I am... Well, it just goes on. I'm just uncomfortable. I don't get into it. This thing of people lining up and preachers going down the line and knocking them down. You say, aren't you Pentecostal? Yes. But they didn't do that in the book of Acts.
Right. That's right.
Paul, Peter, Stephen, these men of God didn't make a show out of what the Savior did. Bam, 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 bam. People falling out and getting up. Now you listen to me, please. I can't help it. Now I know I make y'all family uncomfortable when I get mad. I know I do. But I can't help it. Because bless God, I'm the one that's got to stand before Him one day and give an account. And I get mad when my sheep act silly. And I want you to understand something. With all of my heart, you'll stay troubled. When He knocks you down and you go out, and when you get up, what's different? When Paul got knocked down, he turned the world upside down when he got up. When John got knocked down like a dead man, when he got up, he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you look at me, please. When you get up, what's different? And if your whole life has not been transformed and you don't see things the way you used to, and the turbulence is now gone in your life and you're walking in joy and you're confident and the joy of the Lord has filled you, then maybe it was worth it. But the problem is you didn't have to go there for Him to do it to you. You could have had it in your prayer closet with your book open, with your nose in it. Let not your heart be troubled. How can I stop it, Lord? Well, you believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe me. Trust me. When you put it in my hands, move yours away and let me hold on to it. Is it a lost loved one that keeps you perturbed all the time? Your worrying is not going to save them. Your constant haranguing, reminding, harassing, and quoting of Scripture is not going to do anything but inflame. No amount of walking the floor is going to get it done. God is not deaf. He heard you the first time you prayed. Didn't He do it? The angel Michael said to Daniel, God heard you the first time you prayed 40 days ago. But there's a little problem in the air. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to get an answer. The problem is not that God hasn't heard. The problem is that the enemy's trying to keep you from getting it. But even now, because Jesus rose from the dead and He pierced the darkness, why, Satan can't stop it. Satan can't get over you and hover and prevent God from hearing you or prevent you from getting, oh, this is so good to prevent you from getting God's answer. That was the Old Testament. The New Testament is now intact. He's alive. He rose from the dead. The power of darkness has been broken. Jesus has heard and answered your prayer. But He will answer it in His own time and His own way. So don't let your heart be troubled. Trust Him. Cast all your care upon Him. He cares for you. And notice what He said about troubled hearts. Remember, I'm going away. But if I go away, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And if your heart is troubled, remember, I've gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, are many mansions. Now, I know some of you get upset when people use other translations to mansions. I don't think the original translation had mansion in it. The original translation said, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. I could care less if I've got a mansion in heaven. I don't have one down here. I'm not trying to get one. And I don't want one up there. I just want to be where He is. You hear me? Anytime you argue about, well, my mansion's going to be this, and my mansion's going to be that, it tells me that you're still fleshly minded. People, I told staff the other day, people have fought about this for years. And then you got the people saying, I don't want a mansion. I just want a cabin in the corner. No, they don't say it like that. I don't want no mansion. I want me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Well, folks, He's not talking about cabins and mansions and brick and mortar and floors and gold and chandeliers and swimming pools and all that stuff. That's not the heavenly Beverly Hillbillies up there. No, we're not a bunch of podunks going to a place so gigantic and magnificent that we don't even know how to turn on the lights. No, heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven does not require a shelter over your head. Heaven does not need a swimming pool. Heaven does not need a hospital. Heaven is where Jesus is. And when you get there, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no temptation. There'll be no death. There'll be no dying. He's gone to get us a place where He is, and we will live with Him forever. Praise Jesus! Stand up with me, please. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. David, you know, you've been here a long time, and you know that there are plenty of people at Central who don't think that I'm spiritual enough. You're not one of them, are you? Well, Pastor just won't let the Spirit move. What will happen when the Spirit moves? You think some people will just get beside themselves? That's not the Spirit of God. It might be happiness on your part. I've felt it. I've jumped up and down at times. I've whirled around at times. That's just me being overwhelmed. But you see, when the Holy Spirit abides in you, you'll bear fruit. That's the first sign, you know. Oh, we're Pentecostal. We believe in speaking in tongues. I do too. We believe it's the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Initial. Initial. My name is Loran. My initial is L, but that's not my name. My name is Loran. Loran. Janice has heard it many times since I've taken some time off. Is Loran there? I want Loran's schedule so I can bring my friends when Loran is there. She's not going to give it to you. Ever. You just come on to church and worship God. And believe that that's the person you're supposed to hear and the word you're supposed to get for that day. Don't put me up there. I heard an official tell his church one time, Loran Livingston can fuss at his people worse than anybody I ever know of, and they still love him. I'm not fussing. I'm pastoring. And I'll do it till Jesus calls me home. This is what I do, pastor. You don't have to go anywhere else to feel God. You don't have to find somebody. Save your money that you were going to use on that plane ticket to go there. And have him say, "Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba." Save it. I can do that if you want me to. But it won't work. It's got to be you and Jesus walking every day, step by step, day after day, just walking in the truth, you and Jesus. Now, little Anthony right here is my niece. Raise your hand, Anthony. She may not be very proud of it, but she's my niece. Her daddy was a great singer in a wheelchair. And her daddy went to a big convention they had here where a healer came to town. And so her mother rolled her daddy down the aisle to where this healer was. And when they saw him, they said, "Oop," and they put him behind a curtain and never prayed for him. Why? Because he was crippled as a baby. And the healer just couldn't handle that kind of affliction. It's always something internal that nobody can see or verify. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. But you love him, don't you? And you send him money. And you love her because she really opened the scriptures to you like nobody else. So you've sent her the money. Here comes Loran just telling you, there's nobody and nothing but Jesus. Jesus won't disappoint you. Jesus won't send you behind the curtain. Jesus doesn't try to take all your life savings. Jesus doesn't do it. He just loves you. He receives you. He takes care of you. He brings you peace. And he's coming back for you to take you to where he is. Is there anybody in this house or down at Lakeview or in the other two buildings, whether it be Hall and Discipleship Center, who would like to walk out of your pews or chairs and come and stand down front and say this: all I want is Jesus in my life. I don't want to look for anybody or anything or any place. All I want is the hand of God. All I want is the Spirit of God. I want Jesus. I crave Jesus. I'm hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Give me Jesus. Is there anybody? Just Jesus. Just Jesus. I'm going to add something to it. I'm not trying to find the latest bestseller from the best-selling Christian author. Just let me have this. Are you with me, James?
Yes, sir.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
This right here. Again, people ask me all the time, have you read this newest book by so-and-so? I say, no. No, I haven't. Well, she says some good things in there. Brother, this... the whole thing is good right here. There ain't some good things in here. Everything in here is good. And it has the power to set you free. You read those other books, you say, how'd I think about that? When you read this, it transforms your life.
That's right.
There's power in the Word of God. So what have you heard from Preacher Loran today? Preacher Loran, you've heard you don't need anybody but Jesus, and you don't need anything but this Word right here. That's what you heard from Loran. This is what Loran's going to stick with. Because Loran wants to go to heaven. I want to be filled with Jesus. Do you? Do you?